Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Do we have the video playing right now?
Now we do. Live? Yeah.
Okay.
No, we're live now.
So sorry about that. A little bit glitchy over here, but thank you so much for watching our SmackDown post show here on Friday, October 25th. We got a lot going on. I had a little glitchy of a start. The Yankees are playing. I have so much going on over here. Not a ton going on the SmackDown episode, except for one big, really productive thing, which we're going to talk about, but get in your super chats, get in your Humper chats at humperchats.com, and please leave a thumbs up on this video. So much to talk about here on SmackDown, but a big wrestling weekend. We've got your Halloween Havoc post show on Sunday. That'll be me and Alex Pulowski reviewing NXT. I'm sure Corey Brennan will have some scoop skis for you. We had the arrival of Zarya. I don't know her full name yet, but the former Delta Brady coming over from Australia, who is absolutely fantastic. We will also have your Bound for Glory post show tomorrow. Some very interesting bets over there at BetOnline.ag. You're going to want to check them out. We did a rundown of...
Oh, no. Go ahead. Keep on talking.
Hello?
Now we got you back. We lost
okay,
you for a minute
there.
Okay,
that's so weird. That intro video just played for me right now. So, Lord Almighty, I am ready to switch over into the Verizon era for us.
Oh,
but
my God.
We had those for you yesterday on the ROH TNA post show. You're going to want to take a look at those, especially the world title match. The women's one is interesting, but Nick Nemeth versus Joe Hendry could kind of go either way as well. So some very stark odds that you might want to throw a couple bucks on BetOnline.ag. But we're not here to talk TNA. We're not here to talk NXT. We are here to talk about SmackDown. No Collision post show tomorrow, just as a programming note, but we've got a lot of SmackDown to talk about tonight. Alex, we had said that the past 2 months or so that the go-homes were better than we'd been seeing, right? Like, we had been... seeing the mid-card get to show out when those main names weren't available because they were on pay-per-view the next day, or just some more consistency. This was a double taping for the Saudi Arabia show. And it showed, and my God, I mean, between this week's Raw and SmackDown, one clean finish between all three shows, I think two, maybe three clean finishes, and poorly done ones, in my opinion. Wrestlers who are simply distracted by the mere existence of people is one of my least favorite types of distractions in the world. Like, their music hit and I turned into an idiot. I never saw this coming stuff is so not for me. I feel like it makes wrestlers look so weak. That was all over this episode, but really, 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 really good news and that the Motor City Machine Guns are your new tag team champions. And why I'm so excited for that is I feel like them not being entrenched in a bigger story, like with the Bloodline, means maybe those titles are going to get to stand on their own a little bit more. What were you thinking about tonight's episode? Didn't have the same kick to it, but we did get something monumental to close us out.
Yeah. I was in and out. Obviously, I was watching the Yankee game, but I was paying attention. I know I got to be here tonight. So I felt disconnected. And I told you that in the beginning of the before we jumped on here. But yeah, I felt a little bit disconnected. There was a lot of different things happening, which we'll get into. Obviously, the big surprise there. Just kind of thinking why, where, and how. Like, there's just a lot of questions right now going on. I understand why they're taking titles off the Bloodline, because I know with Survivor Series coming up. I think that's just me speculating. You know, they want clean teams, I guess, facing each other where no one's holding any titles. But I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's part of it. I think the other part of it is they needed a motivation for Jay to come over, right? So him getting cost his IC title, turnabout's fair play, they lose their tag titles. I thought this was going to happen in reverse, but it did happen kind of the way that I was expecting. So
yeah.
Not too bad. But Jay Miller saying, thank you so much for this chat, saying, so happy the Motor City Machine Guns won the belts. I hope that they don't hot potato the belts back to Guerrillas of Destiny before Survivor Series like they did to DIY. I think they're going to want to break free from that. So I'm hoping that's the case. I don't think you bring in teams like this without, you know, hopefully setting a new standard for your division. Do you feel like this is just going to go back to the Bloodline? I feel like we've kind of surpassed that part of the story.
I don't think so. I think that this is obviously going to set up a really cool moment where they're probably start up a tournament again of some kind for the tag belts. You know, Motor City Machine Guns are a very well-known team that have had, obviously, years in this business that people are going to be able to now get to see on WWE. And what better way than to showcase what they can do is by putting them up against the second best tag team. I think the way that you do that is you kind of put together a really nice tournament of some kind, you know, and really see them show out. And yeah, I mean, I don't know who, maybe DIY, maybe, but I don't know. Like people would love to see that, you know, in an actual championship match between those two, I think. But yeah, I mean, today's episode left me a little bit convoluted. I'm on point with something, but today I felt a little off. Even the whole Cody promo, I was just like, what is happening right now?
The Cody and Gunther promo I actually liked, but we'll get into it.
Sure, yeah.
The pacing of it, we've been seeing much better pacing, I feel like, in general. I liked the longer match times, but it felt like it was a double taping. You know what I mean? You can always kind of just feel the vibe with those things. And honestly, with these constant interference finishes, as soon as you get invested, they give you a reason to not be invested anymore. We're going to talk about that in that best of seven series, because that was such a bummer. But Ricardo chiming in saying, it's Friday, you know what that means. Hi from work. Hi, Ricardo. It genuinely means a lot that people do things like send in messages from work. Like, that's so cool of you guys. So
tell your job that, like, you want to watch us on a Friday. I don't know what you do. It could be top secret clearance at the White House or the Pentagon, and somebody must have snuck up behind you while you're watching us. So just be careful out there.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right with that, Alex. So be careful, Ricardo. But it means a lot. It means a lot. Feel free to let us know what you thought about tonight's episode. We are going to dive right into it. Really kind of stilted, but I'm glad that we got something of consequence happening for that Brooklyn crowd. We love to see that. And I'm glad that we got something eventful, because there was just a lot of booking to me that was not great.
Yeah.
Was not great on this. So let's dive in, shall we? Leave a thumbs up on this video. We see those numbers going up. More of you are filtering in, and we appreciate that. We start with this Randy Orton promo, and is this a safe space? Can I say something?
This is, you know what? Yes. Just like I let my clavicles go. You are more in.
I have to say this. I have to say it. I've tried to avoid saying it my whole life.
Ooh, this is big.
This doesn't mean this person isn't good at their job, okay? It means I didn't watch the Attitude Era. I don't care about the Attitude Era. When I try and go back and watch stuff from the Attitude Era, the stuff that is dated about it outlasts the stuff that is good about it for me in a lot of ways. Outside of WrestleMania 30, I can't think of a single time Triple H has made me authentically feel an emotion I'm sorry. Like, it, no. He's just not for me. And this promo, which we can talk about.
Don't be sorry.
Say, like, to be totally honest, I didn't get the big deal about Hangman Page at first. And then somewhere around the, like, I'm angry, the meds aren't working, but I'm still here promo, I was like, okay, I get it with this guy. I understand. I never had that with Triple H, mostly because the majority of his career was standing in CM Punk's way, and I was rabid about CM Punk at the time that I was watching wrestling and coming out of retirement to basically beat him. I don't like saying negative things about performers because it's A, just an opinion. He's a lot of people who have much better opinions than me's favorite wrestlers. He's MJF's a huge Triple H guy. Cody Rhodes, a huge Triple H guy. I don't get it. I don't get it with this guy. And this promo, like, I've actually really liked a lot of what Randy Orton's been doing. I think he's been really good in this, like, the most I've ever been invested in him as a face, for sure. But this was just a promo I've heard a bunch of times. I mentioned CM Punk, the, like, I'm not talking to Triple H, I'm talking to Paul Levesque. I'm like, I saw that 15 years ago. Like, this is kind of really boring. And also, I think they could benefit from Triple H taking a breather from TVs for a little bit. This guy has been introducing every belt. He's at every pay-per-view basically just to go, are you ready? Like, we could use a break.
Yeah.
But there were some productive parts of this. Randy Orton is basically opening the show, saying it's great to be in Brooklyn. He says that Nick Aldis won't let him at Kevin Owens. He doesn't understand why Kevin Owens is supposed to be so protected. And he wants to know from Triple H himself, who happens to be there, thank goodness, what the deal is. And Triple H says that he's not protecting Kevin Owens. He's protecting Randy from Kevin Owens. I did like the justification of him saying, like, I think Kevin Owens sees the guy that he wants to be in Cody. And I think he sees the sneaky sneak that he's trying to not turn back into in you. But there's something different about Kevin Owens now. And he kind of waxes poetic about Randy's injury and wasn't like, this wasn't a sprained ankle. You know what I mean? And Randy Orton says, I called on Triple H, not Paul Levesque, not the suit and tie guy. I want the sledgehammer guy, which, like, I feel like I've heard that a bunch of times. Yeah. But Randy says he's not being impulsive. He knows what's at stake, and Triple H knows what it's like to have your career taken away from you in an instant. And if the roles were reversed, he would handle business in the ring himself. And he says, I hope to God you know what you're asking for. And he makes the match. It'll be a great match. I've really, really liked both of these runs from Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. Most of my memories about Triple H are cool WrestleMania entrances, and that's just, like, not that big of a deal to me. So this was pretty cookie cutter stuff to start off the show. Wasn't for me. You were watching during the Attitude Era. You might have a fresher take on Triple H than I do. What did you think of our opener here?
Listen, we were getting Triple H in the mid to late 90s. And a little bit of the early 2000s, before the mid-2000s, was we were getting, like, pay-per-view-worthy matches on SmackDown for free on UPN. You know, it was crazy.
Yeah.
You know, like, he was it. You know, that era where he and Randy were working together in that group, Legacy. No, not Legacy. I forgot what the name were. But anyway.
Legacy? Randy Orton and Cody
No, I'm talking about Triple H and and Ric Flair and Batista. Yeah, I totally
the ministry.
The Ministry of Darkness. No, that's the
Evolution. Evolution.
Yeah, Evolution. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, so those were, I think that was the last time that I remember where Triple H was kind of like what Randy was mentioning. You know, after that, you know, obviously slowing down. I mean, he was up there in age already. So, I like that they had this little back and forth here. I don't really buy too much of the Triple H, like, caring COO, CCO, CCD, whatever he is, you know, caring about people and, like, you should be. I would prefer for him to just let, like, chaos ensue. Like, cool, you want to go fight him? Here you go. you know?
Sure.
Because he was such a menacing force for him to kind of sit here and be like, I'm protecting this and doing that. I'm like, I lost him. I was just like, why? They want to fight. Let them fight.
Let the kids play, man. That's it. Let the kids play.
Yeah, that's how I felt. And, you know, like, I loved him. I loved everything he did. Since the DX days, even before that, I watched him in WCW. You know, like, as you know, not even terrorizing, whatever his little gimmick was after that with Lord William Regal. But yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. This was just stuff that felt kind of tired to me, but I'm very excited about the match. Sure. Like Randy
and I'm not harping negatively at them. I just felt like it was a little too much. There was a lot of too much tonight. Like, I just felt like maybe this could have just been like, come out. Hey, listen, I don't think you two should fight because blah, blah, blah. But like, it was egged on a little bit. But I'm excited, like you just mentioned, about seeing these two go after each other. And it feels like anytime KO happens to be a friend with someone, you could write it on paper and remind yourself that in 3 months, they're going to fight each other. So, you know, at the end of the day, when these two became best friends and RKO shirts and blah, 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 you just knew down the line they were going to beat the living life out of each other. And I'm here for it.
I'm always here for a Kevin Orton heel turn because it's always, he always has a reason for it. And I dig it.
You call him Kevin Orton. I like that. That's his new name.
Kevin Orton. Kevin Owens.
It's not just her internet that's messing up, friends.
No, it's me and my dyslexic little brain, but
Kevin Orton is it. I'm making Kevin Orton shirts tonight.
Kevin Orton! Guys, get in those super chats and humper chats. We thank you so much for your support tonight. Lovely Kylie, who calls herself the Gamer Princess, which I love, Gamer, says hi.
I love that. I choked on it because I was like, I was thinking actual gamer, and then when I saw them, I'm like, I see what you did.
Hi, love y'all. I hope y'all have a great weekend. Well, I hope you have a great weekend too. You're one of the loveliest humans in the world.
Go pumpkin picking.
Everybody should. DNC Digital saying it reminded me of Triple H was ducking Taker due to the business and the interaction of the crowd made it feel like they influenced decisions. That's fair.
Yeah.
It lacked like some pop to me. I guess, like, I feel like Randy should be calling out Kevin Owens more than Triple H a little bit, but that's just me. We move on to our first match, which is the 7 of 7 match between Andrade and
Oh. And she's gone, and I'm split in half, just like that. Kate left us here, everyone. I apologize. Kate's having internet issues right now. She'll be back, I promise. You guys can see me, though, right? Give me a thumbs up in the chat if I'm still alive and well here with you guys. Just want to make sure. Damn it, Kate. There she is. Classic Kate Knight type of the night. I love this.
30 this seconds will... didn't happen. Okay.
That's what she said.
Alex,
and I was sad.
I mean, if you don't want her to say that, there's ways that you can get.
You're dealing with a nosy mailman all up in your business about what you're ordering, what you're getting. Well, don't worry about it with BlueChew.com and the code Fightful. It ships discreetly. Fortunately for you, because a mailman's gonna want to know what's going on. He's going to be delivering that mail to your house. He's going to hear all these sounds. He's going to be like, what's going on there? Well, I don't know, because this package doesn't say anything, but I have a feeling the package in there is saying something, and it will be, because of BlueChew.com and the code Fightful. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Helps get you that main event performance and confidence. And you get your first shipment free when you go to BlueChew.com and use the code Fightful. Like I said, same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but much more affordable and in a chewable. Take their online quiz, and then when approved, it ships straight to your door. My gosh. BlueChew.com and the code Fightful. Mind your own business, mailman.
Yeah, mailman.
Yeah, mailman. Mind your own damn business.
Let me get those boner pills all to myself.
How come the internet doesn't clip you weird saying weird stuff, but I'm always fair game? That's not fair. Bad Robot, I mean, saying, hello, favorite post show. Go Yanks. Alex, is that a player shirt? I'm pulling for EO Kyrie. They are amazing. Celebrating my birthday weekend. Happy birthday weekend. Is that a Tino Martinez shirt?
So this is an actual original Tino Martinez player shirt jersey thing-a-thing. Okay? Like, this is from when I was a kid. Okay? And I still have it. It's still intact. The NY kind of fading here a little bit. But yeah.
Goes, I like it. Except it has the name on the back.
It has the name in the back.
That is not the Yankee way.
It's a shirt, though. It is not the jersey. I refuse to buy a New York Yankee jersey that has a name in the back.
As
that
you
is
should.
Unauthentic. Is that a word?
Inauthentic.
Unauthentic. I'm Puerto Rican, and I like to make up my own stuff. Leave me alone.
There's people have said far, 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 far worse.
Yeah.
That 1996 Grand Slam will forever be in my heart. Tito, one of the best. Should have won a Gold Glove, by the way. Unfair. He got robbed at the Gold Glove spot so many times. And most unlikely home run derby champion of all time, but one of my favorites.
Let me tell you something. That year that he ran with it and was on the home run chase, man. No one ever thought. I mean, you were watching baseball back then.
Oh, right? My God. Obsessed.
Okay, good. Yeah,
those years.
Whew. Those were the years.
Well, happy birthday, Bad Robot. Happy birthday weekend to Bad Robot.
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Birthday on Sunday, celebrating with some brownies SRS will enjoy. Well, I hope you enjoy them. And honestly, Sean could use some. He deserves some. I know I bust his chops a lot, but man's earned some brownies with some extra love in them. But
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm a fun-loving Christian.
Man Twinblade saying, OK has never done anything wrong in his life. I'm assuming that means KO. The stuff with Sammy doesn't count because they are brothers. And the Kane instinct is strong. I love that. I love KO because now there's a lot more justification for heel turns. At a time where there were none, Kevin Owens will justify literally everything, which I appreciate because heels where I can understand their point of view. Good stuff. Good freaking stuff. We got some more love from you guys coming in.
Yeah.
Including this one from Tim, who took the words out of my mouth. How many consecutive matches are we at With Shenanigans. I don't remember the last time we had one without one. Can we get how does that help get anyone over? I'm also begging for some women's storylines for F's sake. So literally every match on Raw had Shenanigans. I think there was one without Shenanigans on NXT, possibly two. I can't fully remember. And then tonight, I mean, all over the place, except for DIY versus Motor City Machine Guns, which definitely shouldn't have had them, so I'm glad they didn't. But come on, man. Like, it's not even just Shenanigans. The ones that we saw tonight make people look really stupid. Make people look really stupid. Big Twinblade saying, hey, Kate and hotter Alex. Whoa. I asked Reg and Phil if they wanted to join, wanted a Grapsity Discord, and Reg said to do it, so I made one. Join us. Well, there you go. There's a Grapsity Discord. That's awesome. Hope there's very productive and awesome conversations in there, as the Sour Grap Society Discord has been, as the Fightful Select Discord has been. Sean will just drop scoops in the Fightful Select Discord before writing up a post sometimes. I would very, very much recommend it.
I enjoy being called sexy on the air, you know what I'm saying?
That's it. That's it. It's 10:37 at night. We're going wild.
I like that. Yeah, you guys keep it coming. Makes me feel good.
Only one, Jada versus Tater. Okay, this is the one that I remembered. Yeah, we had one tonight. So not great. Not great across the board. And this one was particularly egregious because Andrade and Carmelo had a seven match series here, and they have it end in Shenanigans, which is such a bummer because it was cooking like the rest of them up until then. We have Andrade throwing Carmelo out of the ring, hitting a BFT on Andrade. They're both incapacitated. There's a ref bump in here. There's a really fun spot where Andrade pulls the ref in front of him. Being special guest referee LA Knight. So you kind of have a good story of LA Knight getting sick of both of their BS. He said last week he didn't really have like any place being in this role. He reiterates that in a little bit. But having this just end the way it did, which we all knew it was going to, because it's an easy way to set up the triple threat, is such a bummer to me. It feels like they took the first six matches and just kind of threw them out the window, and they were doing some really great work and it was productive for both of them, and now nothing is settled, which I understand is kind of the point, but I like it when people earn things through wins and losses. So this was super, super not for me. But LA Knight says backstage, I told you I have no business being here. And Nick Aldis says, well, you just got yourself a triple threat, so good for you. Good for you. I particularly didn't like when LA Knight said, I don't care about a best of seven. The audience did. People wanted to see this. I would be really bummed if instead of Juan Soto hitting a top of the 10th three-run bomb, somebody from the Blue Jays just came in and was like, well, now I'm in this picture. That sucks. That sucks. And it also sucks to have four special guest referee matches since SummerSlam. It's too many times going back to the same well with any stipulation, particularly this stipulation, because this stipulation doesn't make sense because you have perfectly fine regular referees. You don't need a special guest one.
Correct. There's so much. I don't know. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's okay. I'm kind of it. They've done some tremendous work in all six of these. This one was heating up really nicely. They were sowing the seeds of dissension really nicely before the inevitable happened. It just feels like, and it doesn't feel like both of them earned their way into a triple threat. It feels like neither of them did after six and a half matches, and that sucks. That sucks.
What was the point of having six and a half? Like, why would you put end it this way? I knew it was going to end this way because I've mentioned that it was going to end this way. I actually said this is going to end like the bar did, where they fought for forever and then, you know, other people came into it, and then they became friends, and then they became a tag team.
That was productive, though, because that ended in them becoming a tag team, right? Like, that made sense.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, man, I was just like, why? Why? You can do the interruptions. You can do the special guest referees anytime you want after the, you know, give the people a nice, clean seven series. It would be fun. It would be fun to see that, right?
There are too many times where things like this will grab my investment and then they just decide to blow off the investment that they built. It's stupid. It's a really bad way to go about business.
And it happens all the time. I'm sorry, but it really does. I have not seen a best of seven or a best of whatever in unless it's a tournament that they put together where obviously you need a winner. But when you have something like this, it seems every damn time something funny has to happen. Right? Of course. There's always funny business. It could never just be like, cool. To me, in my head, you would have had this match. You would have shook hands. You would still have beef. Like, cool, we shook hands, but I'll still slap the taste out your mouth for looking at me the wrong way, right? And then you have LA Knight come in and start drama, right? This wasn't for me. Great match by these two. These two are excellent. Let's bring it back a year from now. Yeah. Don't overdo it so that we love these guys even more. And, you know, do you feel like any of them two were actually made in this match? You feel like any of these two actually went over because of what happened? Because now you got a triple threat.
No,
I don't think LA Knight's going to lose either, by the way.
He's definitely not losing it. And I think it's a triple threat so that there's protection as to why, right? I think it was wildly productive for getting them both to feel like they're important pillars in the mid-card picture, like the series did. Because neither of them were doing much of anything before. Andrade was just kind of putzing around on Raw and here. Carmelo was just having really great matches with some people. Like, he wasn't really in any storylines. So I think it was really productive of, like, these guys are showing out in the mid-card, which I think was great. And then it feels like, okay, with that establishment, what they did was just choose to throw it out the window as far as that being paid off properly. So
right,
frustrating there, but really good match. LA Knight is very good at what he does here. His outfit was very funny. He was like, Silicon Valley tech from the waist down. And then he had his referee shirt on. Like, very, very funny. Very, very funny to me, but disappointing ending. Disappointing ending for sure. I gotta say, too, even with just that small segment with Nick Aldis that comes later, the most effective authority figure that they've had on this show in years.
100%.
Just 100%. Like, he's at an 8 at his most emotional. He's at a 3 at his least emotional. He's never too far in either direction. He's always working towards doing his job for the show. He doesn't have a lot of superfluous crap floating around. He's not constantly threatening to get in the ring with anybody. He runs his show proportionate to how people behave, which is something that I think Adam Pearce is desperately lacking on Raw. He's like, Drew, you got mad at a ref, so you're indefinitely suspended. But the murderers and the Wyatt Six, they can hang out. So I really, really appreciate that with Nick Aldis. And it was kind of a sleeper thing. When he got designated to this role, I was like, oh, that's kind of a bummer. I wanted to see him in the ring, but he's absolutely killed it.
He does. Yeah, I don't need to see him in the ring. I know eventually maybe they'll get an itch to put him in there, but I think that he's just done such an incredible job of just being an effective leader and an effective person that can put people in their place without being scared of them.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed entirely. Well, we will move along here. Guys, get in your super chats. Get in your Humper chats. Almost 4,000 of you watching across platforms. We appreciate it so much. We'll also take a quick opportunity to remind you of a couple things. FightfulSelect.com. We've got some interesting music-related scoops about what's going on in WWE right now. Also, some great news on the AEW side if you're a fan of Mikey Ruckus's work, which I am. He has re-signed with AEW. I would imagine that was just supported to the WWE side if they are looking to move on from Def Rebel, which certainly seems to be the case. But kind of some off-the-beaten-path news, but some great stuff. We had a very accurate Samantha Irvin update before as well. She is moving on from WWE to pursue things outside of wrestling. She left months of notice. Don't let poorly aggregated information fool you. But that's why you subscribe to Fightful Select for the extremely accurate details. But let's move on to something that I think is productive for the talent rotation of women, but I don't like how it was booked. I love when we get to see more and more women on screen. I've loved the way that they had Piper and Chelsea weaving in out of the title picture. I liked last week when we got Candice LeRae kind of hired by Nia Jax because Tiffy was absent. I thought that was some pretty good work, but we get a quick backstage with Nia saying to Miss Tiffany, like, hey, you know what? Don't worry about Naomi tonight because Candice was here in your absence and she pinned Bayley, which you haven't been able to do. So we'll let her have a crack at it, which I love how commanding but casual Nia was in this segment and how caught off guard Tiffany was because she was like offended, but she can't really lose her cool around Nia or everything's going to fall apart, right? So I thought this was a really good kind of introductory women's segment to what came next. Did you like this as much as I did? I thought it was quick but effective.
Yeah, I like these like I mentioned before, there was a lot of long segments today. This was perfect. I think that, again, the dynamic between Tiffany Stratton and Nia is done so damn well.
Yeah, I agree.
They've killed it every single time they're on screen together. Nia still comes off. At no point does Nia not come off as a dominant force and as someone that you shouldn't be talking down to or even up to. Like, you shouldn't be trying to, like, you know, get in her face for absolutely anything. And I really do feel, again, and I say this every week, Nia's best work. And you know, you know something's going to happen soon.
Yeah.
Tiffany's itching at it, man. And she's tried different things here and there to try to, like, separate herself from Nia. And there's times, the instances that we're like, oh, shoot, it's about to happen. But, man, I'm ready to see what Tiffany could do as champion and leading the SmackDown crew.
I agree. It's just a matter of time. What is going to push Tiffany to the brink where she does cash in, I think, is going to be a fun story here. So we move on to the match, and I'm so sorry to report that, unfortunately, despite being in this business for 2 decades, Candice LeRae is apparently an idiot because she's having a great competitive match with Naomi, and then, as everyone could probably expect, Bayley appears, but Candice, who knows how the show works, she's on it, is completely caught off guard by this. And Naomi rolls her up. This is straight out of the Vince 2023 playbook, man. Like, someone enters, everybody stops for some reason. They walk all the way down the ramp, and everybody in the ring is just frozen. And then Naomi wins with a roll up. Like, come on. I know Naomi needs wins. I think it doesn't right now make sense that Candice loses. You think if you're trying to build jealousy from Tiffany, you would want her to win this, but I'll also give them time to see where that goes, because maybe Nia's like, well, she sucks. Indy Hartwell, you want to take a shot or whatever? Like, maybe we're going to keep that going, and Tiffany will get more and more frustrated. But match was really, really, really good. I don't know where Indy was to equal the odds here. Are they still a tag team? Is that whole act over? Like, you tell me, but you finally get Candice LeRae, one of the best women's wrestlers of the decade, on my screen. And then you kind of make her look stupid. Like, I don't like that. I don't like that kind of booking. Candice LeRae is smarter than that. I know she is. I've seen her be smarter than this. But I kind of like how much talent rotation there is in the women's picture. I do just wish they would give them two matches a night. But other than that, some good stuff. What did you think here?
Yeah, same thing with you. Like, you look at some of the, you know, like you mentioned, it's good that they're rotating the women around the way they are, giving them some good timing. But again, it's just the fact that I feel like sometimes they play themselves.
Yeah.
Like, with how it's not hard for you to, how do I say this? You're booking certain segments for the men so well, and you're writing so well for them. Take that equal amount of way of writing and put it into the women's storytelling as well. Because sometimes I feel like it's so separated and so far apart from what everyone else is doing that's running really well. And this goes as far, and I know we'll talk about it, the women's tag titles as well. It's just like, You know, like these two women, write something for them. Do something. I want them to be on my TV more. I want them to be fighting and kicking people's faces in. Like, don't make them look like they don't know what's happening.
Yeah, they... So Naomi gets a win here. She's been 50-50 of late, which is almost worse than losing because I can't have confidence that her losses are going to mean something. Like, they've really got to figure out something for her to do other than be fodder to people that are around the women's title picture. Her and Bayley seem to be aligned still. I'm assuming they're going to fall apart at some point. But I hate booking. If you can book anything in the world, why are you booking something that makes Candice LeRae look like a chump? I don't get it. Yeah. You can book literally anything you want. So over 5,000 of you now joining us. Thank you so much for tuning in. We usually get a nice little kick up after Rampage is winding down, so we appreciate it. We will also remind you about the Fightful Awards, as well as some Survivor Series sponsorships that we have coming up for that weekend. We're expecting a big spike around that because of the talent names that are probably going to be on it. So looking forward to that. But the Fightful Awards, $100, you can request your category. Last year's got over 35,000 views. This year's we anticipate getting more. We have a combined over 500,000 following on social media between Sean and the Fightful account. So a lot of bang for your buck there. We have creators supporting us. We have bigger brands supporting us. We appreciate everybody who does. But email me at kate@fightful.com if you're interested. We're happy. We're happy to help you out. We're happy that you guys choose to support us and want to be aligned with us. Very much appreciated, but you've got time on those too. Those won't be until the very end of the year or early next year. So, but get in early if you want to request your categories. We've already got 12 of them that have gone up and out. So,
yes.
So we'll move along here. We've got this Cody and Gunther segment, which you said you weren't as much of a fan of. I actually kind of liked this, and I'll tell you why. But we've got
I'm Cody all ears.
Well, thank you. We can both have opinions, actually. I know that's not like the way of the world.
I don't like that. I actually don't. I want you to agree with me that this sucked, okay? I am so tired of this right now. Right, I'll tweet about it.
I'll tweet about it.
Don't make me tweet about it, Kate.
I'm so sorry. Please don't. We have Cody coming out. And then Gunther coming out immediately after, and Gunther comes out to cut off the Cody. Whoa! Which I was like, that's fantastic heel work.
Yes. His look when he looked back to us.
He's so good, man.
He sold it so well. To like, what the? You know, I was about to, whoa.
Those are my freaking, I run. Like how Santa Slay runs on like Christmas cheers.
Christmas
like
cheer.
Cody runs on woes. Like that's the way to go. So.
And what is the best way to spread Christmas cheer?
Singing loud for all to hear.
We got about 5 more days, and then it's all.
Oh my
Christmas.
Gosh! No, yeah, November 1st is Christmas season.
Yeah, I'm putting my Christmas tree on that. I don't care.
But after Gunther cuts out the woes, it was so funny too because Michael Cole goes, "Well, that's rude." And I was like, well, Cody invited him. Oh, wait, I get what he just did.
Yeah.
But Gunther says, before they talk about the match in Saudi Arabia, he wants to talk about Cody. And then he shoots on Liberty Rhodes. He's like, I don't care about your daughter. I don't care that you're doing this for your dad. But sincerely, like, I love what he says about being... not doing this for the legacy of your father, not doing this for your family, not doing it for those people out there. He says Cody asked for a John Cena schedule because he's so like dependent on other people to validate him, basically. And he said, that's not what this is. This is champion versus champion. This isn't for your family. This isn't for these people. This isn't for any of that. And he, just basically says he's in it for himself because he doesn't care about a legacy. He cares about being champion. This is the Gunther that I know and love. I felt like for so long we were getting Gunther steering into a direction he really shouldn't, in my opinion, be in or that we didn't know of him. He's not a chicken shit heel that runs away from stuff. He's not someone who calls other people street trash. He's the Matt is sacred guy. This feels so much more aligned with that. But he wants to know Cody's real reason, and he calls Cody dramatic. And I love this because Cody says, yeah, I'm dramatic and I'm a messy king, which I love. And he says like that basically Gunther has forgotten the responsibilities of being a champion. You do media, you meet and greet the fan, you do all these things. And Gunther says, I get all the same requests you do. I just have the guts to say no to all of this. Like, I'll say no to media. I'll say no to bosses. He literally goes, I'll say no to charities.
I love it, man.
I love Full him on. So much. And he was Full like, on. Most of all, I'll say no to the fans. I only care about being champions, and you're a gutless coward, and gutless cowards will always be second to me. And then I like Cody's retort. He says, you call yourself the ring general? You're not leading anyone. He says, basically, good luck, because you're a big, scary man that makes you the ring general. You're a ring general who leads nobody. If you want guts, I'll show you guts. And then he takes the first shot at Gunther. Ludwig Kaiser runs in to help Gunther, and the segment kind of ends from there. I liked this so much more because I liked both of them defining what it meant to be a champion in their own estimation. And this ended up being a clash of, this is champion versus champion, and it's the type of champion that Cody Rhodes sees himself as, and the type of champion that Gunther sees himself as. And I really, 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 really love that. I thought that was a good way to build to a match that I was excited for the match, but I felt like the stakes were essentially meaningless. Now I kind of feel like I know what these guys are fighting for, Alex.
I still don't like it.
I'm
gonna be a hater here. It means nothing. This doesn't mean anything to me. You guys are having all this showdown. So you've basically replaced the old school Survivor Series. What was it? Brand supremacy thing, and
Brand supremacy.
When you had the two teams fight each other to see who would be the best one. Yay. From the old school Survivor Series days, it seems like you took that and you turned it into this match where the men and the women who are champions are going to fight for this exhibition title that means absolutely nothing to me, or possibly to a lot of other people. That's cool. They're going to fight. We love fighting. That's what wrestling to me is all about. It's not about the storytelling, Mr. Mark. For me, it's about the physical spectacle we're going to see between the giant Gunther and, you know, Cody. That's great. But outside of that, like, I'm just like, cool. I thought this segment went too long for me. I was just like, what are we talking about here? Sorry.
It was a little long. They could have shortened this up a little bit. But
yeah, like, I enjoyed the banter. I enjoyed him, you know, the back and forth with the, you know, like, I'm going to go to Cherries. I thought that was funny, but it felt like it was just, you know, all of that just to get to him to get pissed off and punch him in the head and then get beat up by his partner to come into the ring to kind of just like lay him out, you know?
Yeah, but I like the title is meaningless, right? So I like that they've now at least added the layer of the pride of being a champion. Like, I appreciate that about it. I appreciate that about it.
You're wrong, and I just tweeted it out.
Wow. Wow, thanks a lot.
That's it.
Thanks a lot. Well,
I'm going to start
my
own.
I'll tell you what you can never be wrong with.
Oh.
And that's NordVPN. One of our longest-running partners, one of our best partners in the whole wide world. We've been talking about baseball a lot on this stream. They love to make it really difficult to watch my favorite sport outside of wrestling, so... I believe in the power of VPNs, and I believe you will like them too.
I have long talked with you guys about the content that you can access with NordVPN.com/Fightful, but it doesn't just stop at pro wrestling. You can get MMA and boxing pay-per-views at a much more affordable price when you change your virtual location with just one click using NordVPN.com/Fightful. It doesn't stop there either. Football games. Man, if you want to check out those out-of-market football games, you don't have to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars. You can get NordVPN.com/Fightful and just change your virtual location. How about baseball games? They make it harder than ever to actually watch baseball games. It is a task, not with NordVPN.com/Fightful. They got everything you need, in addition to all the threat protection and security that comes with NordVPN. But if you want that content, NordVPN.com/Fightful is right for you.
I want it. Oh, wait, I have it already.
NordVPN is seriously one of the best investments that you can make with the code Fightful. You get so, so much value with it. They've been a very long-standing partner to us. They've been super, super kind. So please, if you're in the market for a VPN, at least let them know that you found out about them through us. We would appreciate that dearly. But we move along here to our first Motor City Machine Guns match of the night. We have DIY and the Motor City Machine Guns, and the only match with a clean finish on main roster programming this week.
Yeah.
So this was a really good match. Motor City Machine Guns win, which is predictable here. Johnny takes a double kick, and then we have a skull and bones to connect to Johnny for the finish. My God, a clean finish. A lot of really fun chain wrestling to open this up. This did kind of carry that dream match feel. Something with some momentum on this I thought was really, really fun. Tag team wrestling that, like, we know this division is capable of when it's not wrapped up in dissension between Grayson Waller and Austin Theory and the Bloodline and holding these titles hostage. Like, let's make this the norm, please. But I really liked this match. I love both of these teams. I have for a long time. What did you think?
Yeah, you know, I'm still getting into who they are, right? We're talking about Motor City Machine Guns, right?
Yes.
Just making sure. Okay. I've been watching a couple old matches. I've been watching a lot of their TNA stuff. The second outing, huh? We're just gonna give them the titles.
I kind of liked that. It was fresh.
Yeah,
it was different.
They
got
two wins. That I liked. I just was kind of just a little bit shocked by it, because a lot of the time WWE prides themselves in doing a lot of storytelling and a lot of like hard earned work to get to a title match, at least for the men. So I was just kind of like, when it happened, I was like, oh my God, wait a second. That's new.
I was pleasantly surprised as well, but I did have an inkling this might be coming. We'll talk about our main event now. So my only complaint about this match was the commercial break. I thought hurt it. And
yeah,
like my toxic trait is that wrestling should never have commercial breaks ever. Like I zero commercials literally ever for wrestling. But we move along to our main event where the Bloodline comes out and we get an Acknowledge Me Brooklyn. The crowd lets them have it, and Motor City Machine Guns basically come right out and say, look, our eyes are on the prize. We won the contendership match.
Yeah.
We want to do it right here, right now. The Bloodline make a quip about them having an impact on wrestling, because that's where
what
they
came did there.
From. And Nick Aldis says, hey, your funeral to everybody involved here, but this match goes exactly how you would expect it, probably. We have really great match brewing. We have Jimmy Uso coming down. The half of the Motor City Machine Guns. He interferes. You have Roman entering. The world stopping for that, much like they did for Bailey's entrance.
Mm-hmm.
And then a man in a black hoodie appears. 80% of the time when a man in a black hoodie appears, it's Jey Uso.
Can I just say that? the stock of black hoodies must be rising. I was thinking about them like, man, that prices are good for black hoodies right now, man. Better go stock up on some stock on these black hoodie companies.
Honestly, like if you are looking at like crypto or anything like that, go with the safe thing. Go with the sure thing. Invest in black hoodies because you could just get one and say Jey Uso wore it at some point and people would be like, that's obviously true. I will pay extra because it's obviously a Jey Uso ring worn hoodie. But with Jey losing his Intercontinental title on Monday and looking for payback, that makes sense. It's a good way to get him reimmersed in the Bloodline. I think that makes a whole lot of sense here. I don't mind it. It's just that Motor City Machine Guns title win isn't really about them. It's about the Bloodline story. I had that problem with Dynamite where you had this great tag situation where Private Party was challenging the Bucks. Before they could even relish in the hit moment, it became about Jon Moxley showing up. Like, let some things breathe, man. I don't love that. So, but I think a productive move for the tag team division, if they're going to let these teams do what they're capable of, the booking needs to follow. This cannot get hot potatoed back to the Bloodline. This cannot be a, are they going to split story? Like, just let tag team show out. Let tag team wrestling be what it can be, please. And let that happen in the hands of the Motor City Machine Guns. Your thoughts on this main event, Alex?
Yeah, like I said before, it was very interesting the way it all went down. I wasn't expecting it. Just the fact that, you know, the crowd ate it all up. You know, it was something that we were all kind of hoping would happen, you know, with like Jimmy and Jay and everything that happened in between and Roman and whatnot. Like, it seemed like it all got wrapped up perfectly there. It seemed like this is what we needed to kind of now move forward with the story and kind of like, and you mentioned it before when we were off air, like we kind of needed this so that their story could mean something, right? Because if you're going to bring Jay into it, how else, you know, would you do it? It's like, you know, this is a monumental time. They lost the titles. You know, this means a lot more now to have this fight because he helped get, you know, for them to lose these titles. So shocked that Motor City Machine Guns won it. Happy for them. I'm hoping that, you know, I feel like a casual watching these matches in WWE because I wasn't super hip to them. So I feel like I'm part of the crowd in this. Like, okay, let's see what these guys can do because they just came in and they won the titles. Right?
You're
like
casual,
all right.
Fans.
I'm a casual fan. And now you could
build. I'm a formal fan. I wear tuxedos to every show I go to.
I like, not me. I like my leggings and my pumpkin chai, you know, like that's just me.
Autumnal Alex, we're here for
it. But yeah, that's the low end of it. I mentioned to you guys in the beginning of the show, it was like a weird dynamic show for me today. Like it was just a lot of things I was trying to like put together and trying to realize what was going on and why they were doing them, you know?
Sure.
And this match here, when it happened, I was happy. I was surprised. And then obviously we get that huge ending, you know, with Jimmy and Jay. So that look on Roman's face, I don't know if that was the look of like, yes, the family's back together. Or if it was a look like, maybe I should have been the one to like, get them back together. Why are they hugging in the ring without me? You know?
It could be. We've got a couple more super chats. And we've got Alex Pulowski joining us. I might ask him to come on here and do his sour fowl while I sign back into StreamYard because my internet's being such a scotch here.
Oh, no.
But Alex, come on in.
Oh, your internet. Didn't they come and fix it this week? I thought that was a whole deal.
It's supposed to be. There's a conflict over Verizon versus Verizon Business. So we're just trying to get that solved. But I'm going to come out and come back in. Bye.
Are we saying that, Kate, you did not want to do business? That doesn't work for you,
Kate.
Sister?
Yeah, Kate definitely did not want to do business.
I don't want to do business. She's going into business for herself.
Kate has creative control over the internet in her house.
No, that doesn't work for her, sister.
That should be a shirt.
Yep, exactly. Hey, did you guys talk? You guys talked about the whole show?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, awesome. Good. Great. Then everything I say will make sense.
Let's do it.
Hey, so what was Randy Orton going to walk to the ring and talk about before he surprised Triple H by calling him to the ring?
Thank you.
He stops off and says, like, Triple H is like, he stops off to talk to Triple H and Gorilla. Triple H is like, no, don't, just go out to the ring. What, just do your thing. What was the thing he was supposed to do? what was the promo supposed to be about? He doesn't have an opponent currently that he's feuding with. What did they send him out to the ring to do?
I mean, but Kevin Owens wasn't there,
But he's not allowed to have a match with Kevin Owens. Why does Triple H give time to Randy Orton to go out and talk to the crowd? Because obviously he wants a match with Kevin Owens. I've told him he can't have his match with Kevin Owens, but he does have promo time to talk about what? And then this is the best part, when Randy Orton calls Triple H to the ring. He's like, come on, Triple H, come on down. And Triple H music hits. And Triple H, they focus on him in the back, and he hears his own music and goes, like, aren't you the person who calls for the music to be played? Who is playing your music that you have not called for, Triple H? And how fast did that guy get fired? Come on. Like, this is just, these are just questions you gotta be asking.
I think that's fair. The first part I always just chalk up to, like, there are some things that it's wrestling. Like, who knows what Randy Orton was gonna say.
Everything has anybody smartened up logic.
Has anyone smartened up, Alex? That wrestling is not real.
No.
You knock it off.
There has to be a reason why a guy is going to the ring.
That's okay, true. Well, has
we're going to,
be to
the
10th
inning, so let's keep the complaints going. Let's go.
Also, I wonder what did KO do that was that bad that, like, Randy Orton must fight him and must fight him now?
He punched him
in the back of the head.
Yeah.
And think of all the amazing stuff that Randy Orton has had done to him in 20 years that doesn't even come close. If you had to, like, the top 50 betrayals suffered by Randy Orton, this wouldn't even make that list.
Well,
but he's like, I gotta fight him.
I mean, he did also assault his friend Cody Rhodes, like, straight up out.
So now we gotta have the Viper caping for Cody Rhodes. This is why I'm so done with Cody Rhodes.
I'm so done
with Cody Rhodes. Coming out here, been like, all right, everybody was deprived of their chance to do a whoa. To appease the crowd, I'm going to do a countdown and we'll all hold hands and do the whoa together. Okay, everybody? 3, 2, 1. Whoa!
It's how I said to Alex, whoa-ohs are like how Santa's sleigh runs on Christmas magic. Cody runs on whoa-ohs.
I don't know, man.
I really did sincerely love Gunther cutting it off at that, being like,
yes.
Nah.
Why is LA Knight the dumbest person alive tonight?
I don't know. Well, no, Candice LeRae is the dumbest person alive, but LA Knight's
man.
They're both
poor
pretty
Candace.
Dumb. Like, we had three scheduled matches tonight. And like two, like the first two of them ended with shenanigans. And then the fourth unscheduled match ended with the most shenanigans.
The most that anything's ever shenaned.
Like, just so LA Knight has never watched wrestling. Not like he's not been part of it. He's never watched it. Like if there's you cost these guys the match. They were fighting to be able to face you. Then you hit your finisher on both of them and thought, well, I don't have an opponent now. How dumb is that? Also, how dumb is Andrade when he sees LA Knight toss his opponent over the announce desk and then LA Knight slides back in? Andrade should be like, count him out.
Yeah.
And then I get the match. But instead, he shoves LA Knight, which causes him to do the finisher to him. Everybody's dumb. Why does everybody have to be dumb? You check your brain cells at the door when you walk through the gorilla.
It's a lot of stuff going on, my friends.
Also, just MCMG wins the match, and I'm so happy for them.
Me too.
But they could not have been more overshadowed.
Oh, completely, yeah.
And that's just unfortunate.
It's a bummer that it was in service of the biggest story that WWE's like ever run. Like, but right. I think it's hopefully something really healthy for the tag division moving forward. And I think they'll probably get some big speech. Yeah. I'm hoping on the next taping because
I was naive enough to believe that when Solo and and Fatu and Roman and Jimmy went to the back and it was just 2-on-2, that they would just win the match. And then the Tonga Tongas would start beating them down. And then Jey Uso would come out. They're not the Gorillas of Destiny anymore. They're the Tonga Tongas.
They're the Tonga Tongas.
Tama Tonga and Tonga Lower, the Tonga Tongas. That's where they're always going to be the Tonga Tongas. And I don't know. Like, I don't know why we couldn't just have them win and then have post-match shenanigans as opposed to mid-match shenanigans. But I guess they needed to have them stand on the stage while Pyro went off, while Jey Uso got all the camera time while standing in the ring. You know, it's just one of those things.
They rushed that at the end.
It is what it is.
I think they wanted the we're on the same side, but all of our relationships are really unclear kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't mind that as much. I don't like all of the interference. I'm sick of seeing it for the third year now, honestly. But, like, I get it. And I think it was good that Jey Uso cost them the tag titles because he got cost his.
No, but I get it. That makes
but
all
shame
sense.
On, I got a bone to pick with Brooklyn, who is a smart crowd, to be like, oh, who's in the black hoodie? 80% of the time, it's Jey Uso in a black hoodie.
At least Uso.
Kate, at the end of the day, I'm not going to harm. I've been harping on this poor show today. I've been on the negative side. As of late, it has felt like some of the fans, not every fan, is a little surprised by the things you just mentioned.
Well, I also think live crowd energy is contagious.
When you go to
a live show, everybody but Alex Pulowski tends to play along with things. Right. And Alex Pulowski doesn't really go to live shows, so that's not even fair of a barometer.
I don't do that. No, well, can't. Last thing for me to be sour about.
This is like Bianca, sour seven.
Did Bianca and Jade not remember the last time they had a championship defense against multiple teams at once?
Evidently not.
Why is Bianca so I can't wait to defend my title in a match where one of you can pin another one of you and I lose my title? Because the last time we did that, we came out successful. Oh, no, wait, no, we didn't.
Well, they're excited because they'll just win it back and be 3-time champions. So we got some super chats to close us out tonight. DNC Digital saying we're seriously in season 5 of the Bloodline. It feels like that the cinematic movie is coming soon. Bad Robot saying AEW is white t-shirt, WWE is black hoodie. That's about where we're at. Some Humper Chats that also came in. Thank you so much for the support tonight. Sunny Feliciano saying day one Fightful fan. Wanted to highlight something. Tiffy can't cash in and win both belts in Saudi. Neither belt is on the line in the match. It's just champ versus champ. Tiff could potentially take the belt off of whoever she pins, plus win the crown jewel title. Yeah, that was kind of my interpretation on it. Their titles aren't on the line, so I don't think she could. But I guess she could cash in and pin both of them. And because if you're cashing in, you get to call stack, that it's a title match, right?
And stack Nia on top of Liv and then pin them both.
And then win both and just combine them and we only have one woman's title. I say we go back to the mid-2000s.
Mm-hmm. I say not so much.
I say the same thing with the men. I say, why do we have two floating titles? That's weird.
Jay Miller saying, not a fan of Candace losing and looking dumb after pinning Bayley last week. Oh, well, at least one of my faves is getting TV time. Yeah, and it's more than 3 minutes of social media time, so I will take it. But, guys, that is our show for tonight.
I got both
my Alexes on with us. My internet's finally working, so that's how you know it's time to go. But, Pulowski, we're going to be doing your Halloween Havoc post-show on Sunday.
Yes.
So join us for that. That'll be on the main channel. No Collision post show tomorrow, but your Bound for Glory post show will be Joel Pearl, Cresta, and I believe Steven Jensen. He's always great on those. So really, really fun triumvirate of hosts to check out, even if you don't follow the TNA product. But Cardoza, where can the people find you?
Hey, very easy. You can come down to North Carolina. I'm just kidding. don't come down to North Carolina. We're trying to get all of you Northerners out of here. You can find me on Instagram and on Threads, Alexis Cardoza. You can still find me sometimes on Twitter, just being a political maniac, and just
it's not true. And, you literally are just like, wow, my gas was lower today, and people are like,
I know, it was a,
how dare and, you?
And also, other people out there being upset with me for no reason. But yeah,
I voted. So how dare you?
Yeah, how dare you vote, you stupid man. But yeah, that's where you can find me. You could also listen to my brand new show, That Was Pretty Jolly, by going to thatwasprettyjolly.com. You can check out some of the first four shows that we got on there. They're really fun. We don't go into deep dives of the movies. We just sit there like if we're talking on a round table about our favorite moments of the movie and how they made us feel jolly on the inside and out.
Stop having cheaper housing and Northerners will stop following you down.
Well, okay, you know what? I'm building a wall. No, I'm just kidding.
And we're out of here. And
right
we're
on I-95. How did we come to a stop?
You are on the opposite side of what it sounds like you just said, just so people know. But Alex Pawlowski.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I'm
Alex, other than on Fightful Select or on Fightful YouTube on Sunday reviewing Halloween Havoc and Getting Spooky, where can people find you and basically us? Because I follow you wherever you are.
Yeah, no, Alex Sourgraps on, you know, on all the things. On all the things. All the things. If there's a thing, you can find me at Alex Sourgraps on the thing. Then also Fightful Select reviewing Raw and then I do a Rampage watch along where I do play by play for the women's matches as an old lady from Queens, a cigarette voice. It's just a thing that happens. I don't know. I don't. It's anyway. And then yeah, like Halloween Havoc. It'll be fun. And then, oh, next week sometime before Halloween, I'm going to review See No Evil 2, and Kate will review the first 24 minutes of See No Evil 2, because that is how long it takes for there to be scary stuff, and she has agreed to watch the setup for the movie, so she will understand who the crazy, wacky characters are, and I don't have to explain them to her too hard.
I am a big sissy. I have a scaredy cat. I'm a big fraidy cat, so I will not be watching the movie except for the part that I can watch, which Alex literally timestamped for me.
I did.
So that
I timestamped crazy. Just
I wouldn't
for you.
Have to get the heebie-jeebies. Mm-hmm. Yankees are up 3-2, so that's the best way we could end this stream. Yes. But you can follow me at Miss Kate Babe. You can follow me wherever Alex is. We'll be on Fightful Select doing Halloween movie reviews like that.
Love that.
Fightful Select every Monday as well, doing your Sourgraps Raw review. Tuesdays on the main doing NXT. Wednesdays at the Mark Order talking all things All Elite. Mark Order pod. Thursdays ranting about how much Chris Jericho sucks as your ROH champion. the post show there. And of course Fridays back here with my Alexes. What could be better? Have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend. Check out that Bound for Glory post show tomorrow. Check us out on the Halloween Havoc post show. We'll see you then.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.